Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Oh, hi. It's extra hoary Thursday. Look at
Mike,
Josh.
Would you like to...
I figured it's Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Look at that. That's very, very exciting. Josh, what is the...
It's also the worst costume ever because there's no mouth hole.
Oh, dear. Well, tough to breathe.
What is it? Is it a marshmallow guy?
It is. My son is going as Marshmallow.
Marshmallow, is that a DJ?
DJ, and I guess more known as a Fortnite character because I had to make like a Fortnite axe to go with it.
Oh, well, very Mike, good. It's what a good dad he is actually making the costume here. I was sipping out of the Mike O'Mara Show red mug here. Oh, there's his axe.
My homemade Fortnite axe.
That's wonderful. You can smite your opponents with that.
Mike, how about a toast to Josh and his costume skills?
Cheers. There they are.
Cheers.
You know, Mrs. O'Mara wanted me to mention that there are just a few of these left and how nice they might look.
Oh, you and your pillow talk.
You know, families get together and sis and bro and mom and dad and grandpa and grandma.
Gail and Bill.
They gather usually, you know, not just for the family repast, but for a, little morning cup of joe. And what better way to enjoy that morning cup of joe than, look at that. Hey, Rob, we can put them all up.
Yeah.
We can have all of them up.
There we go. Now. And we're all drinking left-handed today.
There they are.
Well, it's that way so that when you're drinking it with your right hand,
you
are reminded of the show.
Mm-hmm.
This is true, but I, for future mugs, if we do them, and I love them, by the
way.
Yeah,
we'll do both.
I love mugs. I love mugs. How do you like my garbage truck? I love
Mr.
mugs.
Mr. President, you did a great job of diffusing an ugly situation by being in a garbage truck.
I don't know
truck.
If he knew what he was saying when he called this garbage, but look at my, get me a garbage truck. I'll sit in it. I'll put an orange vest on, and I'll say, God, does anybody want it to be over? I want it to be over.
I wanted it to be over 10 years ago.
Badly. Please. I love ladies.
Pick one of these up today. And get to, we're still selling our wristbands too. So we're hawking.
Yes.
We're hawking because next week we're going to be traveling to Las Vegas, Nevada. I am so super psyched to see everybody out there. I really am. It's gonna be a blast. We're all gonna be hanging out at the same joint. Who said, was it you and Jim that wrote a copy about catch a glimpse of Mike in the lobby?
Yes, exactly.
That so indicates that I'm going somewhere else. That's not true.
No, you'll be there. True. And you know what's funny? I get in on a Thursday evening along with my wife.
You want to give your flight number and what time so maybe people could have a little greeting committee for you when you land?
Yeah,
no, but I invite everyone to catch a glimpse of me in the airport.
I think I'm getting in the latest.
It's not a contest.
Not to get in late.
No, not at all.
But I'd love to... all rules are off for this weekend. This is a reunion weekend. This is a family weekend. The people that have propped up this show this time around, this is these are the diehard people that help us out all the time. And so, a little welcome ceremony would be, but I'm not making people go out to the airport.
Are you flying into
right
are you flying into McCarran?
No, I'm flying private.
I thought so.
My G5 touches down at... Mayor Oscar Goldman Airport at midnight.
Is Oscar still with us, Oscar Goldman? He was great.
I have no idea. He was long in the tooth when they made Casino, and that was 30 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, so he must be dead. But anyway, what I was saying is we get in like a little later on Thursday, and my son gets in earlier on Thursday. And he said, well, what am I going to do before you guys get there? And I wanted to shake him and say, son.
You tell him you're working?
It's Las Vegas.
Yeah, and you're working. You're not there to amuse him.
No, I know that. And don't turn this into something bad.
Man up, Robert.
He's going to be staying in our hotel. So
he's 21, right?
22.
He's 22. Yeah. Tell him to go out and enjoy the fruits of the city.
As I did,
to still have a little bit of money left when you show up.
Well, what I told him,
all before.
I said, go ahead and run it up, win some money during that 4 hours, and then the whole thing's paid for. That's all we need.
So both your kids are coming out?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I got to drop a line to Catherine. Catherine can get on a plane and be there like within 2 days. So I mean, I'm going to call her.
That's a long flight, though, 2 days.
No. Like, I can call her now and she'd be able to make arrangements.
Could she drive? How long of a drive is it?
It's Los Angeles. People drive all the time. You've seen the movies.
Yeah.
So people could drive out there and, see us from L.A. Drive down from Reno. You can drive over the mountains and make a long drive down to, driving is very, very viable. Viable. So please, if you want to do the last-minute thing, we'd love to see it. 4 hours from?
Nothing.
4 hours is L.A. to Vegas.
That's not that long. That's Leesburg to D.C.
But,
that's
closer than I – see, I've never
– I thought it was closer. I thought it was like 2.5, 3 hours.
No, it says 4 hours down I-15.
All right.
But that's closer Vegas. Because I was – I've spent about 4 hours in Vegas total. So I was looking at other things – and I thought the Grand Canyon was closer, and that was like 5 hour drive. So,
no, what's close is the dam. The Hoover Dam is pretty close.
I spent probably more than anyone on this show, probably more than anyone, period, from the East Coast, an insanely significant time in Las Vegas years ago. I actually
wasn't that what you would call your happy era.
It's when we were doing the Johnny Carson vacation schedule that we had.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I remember taking the full 2 weeks.
Oh.
And I'm talking two regular weeks, 14 days. The bulk of the four, spending 2 weeks. One, I went out with the guy that managed my restaurant under the guise of checking out nightlife ideas at the different clubs in Las Vegas because we were a nighttime organization.
It was research.
And then after he went back, I waited, moved hotels, and greeted my wife. I stayed at Mandalay Bay, and I stayed at the Rio. I stayed at two hotels.
Was 2 weeks too long?
2 weeks was ridiculously too long. I'm lucky to have survived.
Mike, I'd like to offer our first trip to the Consumer Electronics Show. We were all holed up in that little bungalow called the
Venetian.
That
I remember being a too long stay. How long did we stay there?
It was like 5.5 days, and
it could have been two.
Yeah, almost killed us.
Right. And that's when I spent my 4 hours in Las Vegas.
For the CES?
Went to CES and flew out the same day.
Really? That's too quick.
It was horrible.
Because the CES, you could do two full days.
Right.
I had a boss
that decided he would pay for my flights to go out there
and check out all the smart technology.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I would love to go to the CES again. I would love to do that.
Me too.
It's a wonderful event. You know.
My wife and I are going out on Wednesday, but our childcare has changed, so we have considered going out on Sunday, and I can't figure out if that would be too much time. In Vegas,
it would be.
That's what I think.
Yeah. You'd be crisp. You would be absolutely crisp.
Even with the keeping the regular schedule and doing the show and preparing, it's still too much. I think it's something they put in the air down out there. It's just after day two, you start to feel it.
My first week when I went out with this manager, and he was a night owl. He was a creature of the night. He was a guy that loved late night, and he loved being out in the clubs. I did not.
Yeah, I don't like
clubs. I never liked clubs from a very young age. My drill was that I would really struggle to make it to almost 11 o'clock at night, and that was my max. I couldn't. And then I would be up in the mid-morning and right down to the topless pool. That would be my drill. And I remember there were these two other dirty old men.
Mike, you do love to show off.
Oh, no, I would be sitting there. I remember they had mirrored sunglasses, and they were twins.
Gross.
And they were so gross.
And the
topless pool was a non-target-rich environment, if you know what I mean.
Especially
I'm not talking about people that were unattractive. I'm talking about there just weren't many people there.
Right.
But it was private, and it was nice, and I would hang out for an hour or two, and then, of course, the degenerate gambling would begin, and that would be how I would occupy most of my time.
Did you ever start the day in the casino? Because I have...
Oh, yeah. I mean, at one of the times I've been out and about in gambling locations, of course. Absolutely.
I found a strategy that is really quite entertaining is to not try to push your luck at night. But then to get up at like, you know, 8:30 breakfast time and head down to the casino, because not only are the floors pretty empty, but you get to see the dregs of the night before that are still there.
Seen it more in Atlantic City than I did in Las Vegas.
And
I saw
it is a magnificent show.
And a lady who was bejeweled and wearing
hello,
expensive
darling.
Clothing, and she looked like if you sat next to her, you'd get that odor because she was there for like 30 hours.
Ridiculous. Now you're selling me on the idea of going there Sunday and doing the show at 5 in the morning from the lobby.
You know,
from the lobby.
Well, yeah.
Look, I think if you've got the child coverage, if you've got child coverage, you and your wife probably get a nice little, you know, leg up on everybody, and make a vacation of it, and
well, that
go
would
out
be the
there.
Idea. That'd be the idea.
Why not?
A few days for my wife.
Go see
the
Hoover Dam or something like that.
You know, and the fountains at the Bellagio. Beautiful.
That's what I'm considering. We'll see.
I think it would be, you know, if you got the child care, go out there, enjoy yourself.
Just
got
to get some coaching covered.
Yeah, I wouldn't drive, I think the bottom line is, and as you have discussed, and Josh has been wanting to talk about this for quite some time, is that you could handle, after driving in the state of Florida, you could handle any eventuality, because I believe I am a safer driver having driven the highways and byways of Florida than I was back in Virginia. I really
yeah, and
that.
I think I've been in Florida 4 or 5 years now, and 95 is its own story because that's 100 miles an hour, everyone, all the time.
Yeah.
Now, Josh but has 95 on his side of the state. Yes. I have 75 on my side, and the two interstates parallel each other going from north to south in the great state of Florida.
And you know you're in trouble if you have to go on I-4 between the two.
I-4 goes between Jacksonville, I'm sorry, like Daytona-ish, and through Orlando over
through
to
Orlando.
Tampa. And
always
it is,
under construction.
If you travel to our state, if you are traveling down south, either Miami area, Fort Myers area, avoid this road. And during the holiday time, avoid this road like the bubonic plague. It is the worst road.
What about during rush hour?
It is horrible.
Really?
I when I have to be in that part of the state, I do everything I can to avoid, and there are plenty of options. That's the other nice thing about Florida.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Josh. I interrupted you.
And yeah, I-4 always has traffic. 95 only has traffic when a truck tips over. Then the whole thing gets shut down. But other than that, it's 100 miles an hour. But I ran into an issue this weekend with my wife, a simple driving thing where I got annoyed because every other driver was doing things wrong in my view and handling it wrong in my view. But then my wife told me, no, that's the correct way. And she grew up in Florida. So I'm thinking maybe this is how, maybe Florida just does it wrong.
What were
they
you
have
doing?
Hold on, Rob.
What were you doing incorrectly?
A four-way stop. When you pull up to a four-way stop and there's cars and lines at every stop, how do you determine who goes?
The last person at whatever stop sign it is. The first person at the four-way stop sign, any of the four stop signs.
So goes first. Okay, so who goes second?
Technically, I think it is by order of arriving at the stop sign. And
you've
got to
kind of guess what that is. But
yeah, and in the event of a tie, you defer to the person on the right.
See, I was trained growing up. It was always to the right, and you go in a circle around taking turns.
I've never heard of that in my life.
Okay.
If there's waiting at the stop sign, then that's the way to do it.
Well, let me explain this.
If there's lines at every stop sign, because my wife said it was first come, first serve, and you just go. And I don't understand, because then that means I'd have to watch for when everyone else arrived.
Well, this is the logic of that. The person that goes first, the person immediately in back of them will go then fourth, and so on and so forth.
Right.
So the person that is behind the car that gets to go then has to wait for the other three cars to go, and then they go.
Right. So it should clock around.
Yeah.
But it's not based on anything than the order.
But I am told it's based on arrival. So if in spot one, two cars get there before
it can't
the
happen,
car
though, if
other,
it's a single lane.
No, like if they're in line waiting.
But here, let me explain my logic to you. So you've got a car that comes, you've got a four-way stop.
Yeah.
You have four cars that are making their way.
Yes.
The car on the right gets there first.
Right.
Then he goes. It's irrelevant
right.
where the other car. Hold on, let me finish. It's irrelevant where the other cars finish in order because the car that gets to go next was the car behind the last guy to go. So let me explain it again. I'm not doing it properly. All
okay.
right. So four cars come up. You got this guy first. He comes up first. Automatically, the guy in back of him will be moving up after he gets out of
right.
there. And then it's in order of who arrived first,
but,
not
but
going
if,
in a.
But what if that guy in back slides up before someone comes to the stop sign to his left?
Like if somebody beats,
around.
If somebody be, if you've got somebody picking their ass. Who is the second
right.
car in line and he's mm-hmm. dicking around and he doesn't get up there, then, you know,
so
it's always who gets there first. That's the way I've looked at it.
Right. And mm-hmm. I've always learned it as that's for the first car and then you rotate around.
I don't know.
Which I think naturally happens a lot of times by the order you get there. But this was a free for all, everyone go. So maybe I was in the wrong. I thought it was a Florida thing.
I think
you
Josh
eyeball
right
who's
on
the
this.
First one
yeah.
to roll slowly up to the stop sign.
Yeah,
right.
That's
for the
kind of how you do
I
it, and it is
the
it's difficult.
One.
Where do you guys weigh in on zippering?
Oh, in Florida, you put your foot on the gas pedal as much as you can and push in front of everyone.
Oh, you see,
what's zippering? What is
like
zippering?
When you're
merging,
like especially
every
a slow
car.
Merge, like coming out of a parking lot.
Okay.
You know, you should go, you should alternate like a zipper.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom,
no.
boom. And it never
no.
exists. It never
no.
exists. But if
I
you
think,
were to
you know what
that,
I think, really? If I'm coming up to the Immokalee Road ramp, coming
yes.
onto I-75 North, going up towards Tampa from Naples, Florida, and I see an opening on the right, all right, where you've got, yeah, you know, you got the merge lane with the arrows telling you where to go, and you got people just crawling. My feeling is if I zip up to the right, and really you can call it maybe a variety of cutting in line,
sure.
I am improving the flow of traffic
right.
by moving up because when I do that, I find a hole in the lineup, and I'm not really cutting anybody off. I'm just – because there's always going to be some dumbass that's going too slow, and I zip in there. Only
I
it's
concur
a specific
with that.
Circumstance.
I concur with that, but I'm talking more about like when people are fighting to get out of, say, a parking lot or a parking deck or something like that. When
and you have
several,
no
yeah.
other options, then zippering is
yeah, zippering is not only
it.
Polite, but I think it's smart.
But
I agree
if I was in back
you.
Of you and you were zippering, I would probably be having a nervous breakdown
now,
because I've seen you drive. And you go slow. And you're careful. And
at
you're
least,
more careful probably now that you've had your
Mike, at least I've never
accident.
Flipped my – oh, what? Never mind.
There you
now,
go.
Now,
can
now,
I ask Rob a question,
good.
Josh? I want to ask
yeah.
Rob a quick
yeah.
question. Are you more tentative now? I am. I'm definitely after my accident. I'm much more tentative than
yeah,
I used to be.
Yeah, I think so.
I
think so. And I drinking and driving is way in the past because
I'm not talking about that. I'm asking you, Shecky, a legitimate question.
No,
question.
I am.
If you're
Mike,
more
I
tentative
am.
And
yes.
skittish
yeah.
now that you've rolled your car.
Yeah, that's an experience that one remembers. That's an experience
yeah.
that one stays with you. And, yeah,
same,
I am a little
same
more
with
tentative.
My collision.
Yeah.
I remember it. I also now, just recently, caught a viral video. And I've seen a million of them, but this is the first time I really paid attention to it. I am also on super highways like I-75 that I mentioned
mm-hmm.
before. That's the one we have down here. Much more aware of my rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Because I saw a tape where they were explaining – how that's a part of driving that a lot of people neglect,
yeah.
where they're not paying attention. And say you're on a super slab highway and it locks up, and suddenly you're going from 72 miles an hour to stopped, and somebody might be on their phone doing something you're in danger of. And their idea is to be very aware of your rearview mirror and
mm-hmm.
also be in either the far right or the far left with the emergency lane so you can get out of the way if somebody's coming up.
Yeah.
You know
behind.
You know what I've actually found, Mike, as driving for all these years, is that objects in the mirror may appear closer than they actually are. So you have to be aware of that.
You know, to just skip past that, when I have to cut a car off.
He's so pleased.
Yeah.
He thinks that was funny.
No, Mike, what's funny really to me is your reaction.
He really thinks that
it's
that
not
was...
on that. It's not me. It's you. I'm sorry.
Because you lay it out there, and then I have to deal with it. That's what that
But
is.
You're magnificent. Yeah. You're the best. What,
I hate that. I freaking hate that joke. I swear.
Yeah, I don't think
God.
The joke works. I think the awkward silence after the joke works.
Perhaps. But yeah. Perhaps we'll play one of Rob's tapes then, okay?
Hey, everybody, this is Reba McEntire. Happy Halloween. There you go.
Now he's real happy. Now I've made him real super deluxe happy.
You made my dream come true. You gave me an awkward pause followed by a new
hey,
Reba
Hey, everybody,
tape.
This is Reba McEntire. Happy Halloween.
Now that comes from a website put out by the UMG. Music group where they get all of their cattle to record greetings. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to that. I think that's the identical, hi, this is Reba. And then they just have her record other tags to it. So I bet there's a Christmas one coming up.
All right, hold on. Let me play the original. This is the original Reba tape.
Hey, everybody, this is Reba McEntire.
All right, and now this is the Halloween tape.
Hey, everybody, this is Reba McEntire. Happy Halloween.
Same tape.
Yeah, and she recorded tags. Yeah,
she just went into tags after the original one because she's very busy.
Yeah. Do you think she makes that scary sound after she says Merry Christmas? That's the sound of watching Happy's Place on
TV. So getting back to Josh and driving, because Josh is the one who wanted to talk about driving.
No, I was just going to say, if you're doing that zipper-in or that merge-in, it's always smart.
Zipper-in and merge-in.
Zipper-in and merge-in.
I'm zipper-in.
It's always smart to cut off the Tesla.
Oh, because, yeah. Well, that's imperative.
The computer will break them, and you can just cut in. You
don't automatic braking. That's an evil driver that's taking that into consideration.
There's way too many of those guys around here. You have to know who you
Teslas
can
Teslas are very, very prevalent down here, too. I think they're I think in the warmer climes, perhaps. I think they originated in California. There were a lot of them. And
first ones were made of lemons. A lot of people don't know that because they were built in California. Now, Mike, do you have any
gold perfume
on your car? And actually for you, too, Josh, do you have any sort of protective features? Like the Subaru, I feel like I could probably take a nap and I'd probably be pretty much okay because it has a feature that keeps you in your lane. It has cruise control that will back
assisted
off.
Assisted driving is what you're talking
all
about.
That stuff. Do you have any of that stuff? I didn't on the car I flipped.
Assisted driving. I do. I have lots of technology on my
It's crazy my with all the beeping and whatnot. It'll definitely keep you in line.
I have one that even can... do you know when you've got the turn signal that you can flip up all the way and it keeps on? Or you can flip it up halfway and it just does the quick signal? If you do the quick signal with mine, when I have assisted driving plus, I will be able to change lanes. Automatically hands free.
Get out. That's crazy.
I love it. And Carla's still very scared of it. I live by it. I especially live by it if it is a moderate to heavy but moving traffic day.
The last time I used assisted driving to change lanes, I got a black eye.
I'm going to use, I plan to use assisted driving all the way up until I get into assisted living.
Now
I will take my assisted driving car to an assisted living facility.
Now, will you have like a getup that you wear in the clinic that helps you walk?
You mean like at the assisted living facility?
Yeah, like if you need to change lane.
It's not a clinic. It's a luxury apartment.
Well, that's what we told you, Mike. There are some experiments being done.
I am hoping that, I am hoping that what Mrs. O'Mara says to me is true, that she would want me in the home as long as possible. I said, but if I become, out of it, I wouldn't want you to have to, deal as a vital woman in her, 50s and 60s, or maybe 70s, if I really hang on. I wouldn't want that to be. You're shaking your head. No,
I don't think so.
Safe bet.
Do you remember
that
movie?
One? Take the over on that. Take the under on that.
Do you remember the movie Stan and Ollie? That's how we're going to.
With John C. Reilly?
Yeah, that's how we're going to end up, in adjoining beds in a clinic.
Right.
They'll tell us.
With striped pajamas.
Maybe in the same bed, maybe not. But
Josh,
definitely
in
the same room.
Did we, before Rob and I started going mental here, did you have anything else you wanted to add about your driving?
I think I'm good. I wanted clarification on the four-way stop, and there's no need to even get into circles in Florida because no one knows how to drive circles.
Oh, very, very dangerous. But I'll tell you solution that I love for Florida, and unfortunately, as Florida, my part of Southwest Florida becomes the Northern Virginia of Florida, they are moving away from what I considered to be the greatest traffic boon on a, at the time it was a two-lane, but then it became a three-lane road.
Okay.
That is the U-turn ramps, which means everybody doesn't get a stoplight like they do in Northern Virginia. What
okay.
you do is you get a right turn, and then you move on down the road to where you can safely make a U-turn with the ramp and everything, and I think it worked beautifully. But the grifters who put in the extra apartment complex down here, they got themselves a light. And by the way, they haven't even had anybody move in yet, but the light's working. And what does the light serve to do? F up traffic for 30 minutes going down on 41 North. It screws it up. But this solution, I love this solution for, let me think of the roads. They're not the super highways, but they are the local thoroughfares.
How about, you know, Mike, would it be like comparable to, say, Route 50 in Washington, D.C.?
It would be, no, not quite, because Route 50 that goes down to Annapolis and down the ocean.
That doesn't happen.
That is really a highway. That is a highway.
Okay.
I am talking more like Route 1. I'm talking more I'm talking about where you would have shopping centers, strip malls, that type of thing, and eliminating the traffic lights, which are the number one source of consternation when you are at rush hour or you're going to pick your kid up from school. And what we do, I used to live in a neighborhood that had no light. We had to take a right-hand turn, and if we wanted to go the other way, there was a little, like a quarter of a mile down the road, there was a ramp for a U-turn. And I thought it worked brilliantly.
Yeah.
But still, to this day, everybody wants the light. I have it out of this community. You guys have been here.
Mm-hmm.
I have that. No, I don't have that. I don't have the U-turn. I have the worst of all, which is the broken median where you have to use guesswork.
Yeah.
And I just don't think there's any need for these if you work on little U-turn ramps. I think it works very, very well, in my humble opinion.
That's why you've got my vote, Mike.
Thank you. And that's why, you know,
even though that you were kicked out of the volunteer fire department for loafing.
Well, you know my cause celeb, which is weed. Smoke as much weed as you possibly can.
Thank
that's
you,
my
Mike.
Slogan.
Finally.
Down here, every state has their own little questions on the ballot, and down here, the main ones are abortion and weed. Now, voting yes on item number three, that is the regulation, here's Robin his bong, of weed, and they are, I think, pulling out all the stops. You have had ad after ad after ad, and now the anti-regulate weed people are now talking about voting yes on number three. Is it three, Josh? I think it's number three. I think that's what it is.
I don't know.
I don't know
three
which
or four.
Four. I don't know.
One's abortion, one's weed. They are. And by the way, you ging up while you're preggers. Go for it. Yeah, just knock
the fetuses
off.
Love weed. Feti.
They love weed. They come out.
Is it
stronger.
Fetuses or feti?
The feti.
The feti love weed.
The feti enjoy a good ging. That's what they like. So now they're talking about, you know, at ball games, at amusement parks, the people that are anti, what's that?
At beaches.
At beaches.
I saw DeSantis come out and talk about, we want our beaches to not smell like weed.
I am at my kid's baseball game the other night. And, you know, it's been windy around here, and the wafting weed was someone was sparking up somewhere in the little town park, and you could smell it everywhere. And that's not going to change. I think I'm all for regulating the weed and also, you know, maintaining women's rights to control their own bodies.
Make some money off the weed.
Make money off the weed.
It's already out there.
Weed should be legal at the beach, but only if you're in the ocean. You have to be up to your knees in water if you're going to smoke. That'll help. And it'll blow out to sea that way.
Yeah, well, when there's a storm, what better way to keep yourself calm?
Well, right. By the way, Reese in the chat room says that weed is the third proposition three.
Is that Reese Little Miss Moffat?
No, that is Reese Little Miss Moffat. And
little,
also,
yes. You Dennis Murphy'd me on that one. Because I said, is that Reese Little Miss Moffat? And then you went, no,
Mike,
yes.
Dennis. It took me a second to get the joke. You were dazzling me with your wordplay, and it outwitted me. Also, thank you to Reese Little Miss Moffat for his generous donation this morning. We appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks to everybody that has made this happen for us. We are super jacked. We were, we have been working on this for a while, and it always excites us when it gets down to the wire because we can really start thinking about the thing we really want to think about, which is the show on Saturday night on the deck, and we're really, really excited.
We've already got
it,
some plans that I'm looking forward to.
It's
going to
be a blast.
Big. Yes.
Going to be a blast. The one thing I wanted to mention for the ads, the money, I only think this, the money that is spent not only on the candidate advertisements, but on the questions on the ballot advertising.
Propositions.
I just wonder sometimes what kind of good you could do with that money. Well, I really do, with that incredible amount of money.
It shows you how much money is in that question.
Yes.
How someone's going to make money whether we vote yes or no.
Yes,
yeah, you're
yes.
right.
And
you're right.
Big Weed is financing one campaign. Who's financing the other, the cartel? Because they've got the governor's office, I believe, Josh. I think they've got DeSantis, the ones that are anti, because I'm pretty sure I saw his wife saying, you know, it'll happen in amusement parks.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a little torn on this one because it's all we say, oh, it smells like weed everywhere. And it does. But when I went to Toronto, there was no fresh air.
It was weed everywhere.
It truly was weed everywhere.
Typical.
So I would tell you, people
typical
love
Canada
marijuana.
Stuff.
So I would love to see. Let's make it all gummies, so you don't have to smell it. Let's get rid of the smell. And
well,
then
why
I'm
don't
all
you?
For it.
Why don't you call your man's campaign that loves women, and ask him to
I bet you know
put
what
the gummies well, on the ballot.
I bet that Mr. Trump
trash vest this morning.
Mike, I think that Mr. Trump would support anything that involved gummy candy.
I love gummy bears. I love the gummy bears. I've got lots of them. They're wonderful gummy bears. And look at my garbage truck.
You look good in the vest, sir.
I love it. Love, love,
how
love.
Do you feel about women?
And then Biden, of course, causing that whole consternation yesterday after Trump's comedian caused it. Then Biden caused it by going, come on, what? You're all garbage. You're all floating garbage. Americans are garbage. You know something. And look what he did. If you think we're garbage, get me. Hey, Stephen Miller, get me a garbage truck stat. It's so mean. It has become more ridiculous in these last days than I have ever seen. It is just all this BS followed by pundits talking about whether the BS resonated with the 6% now that it was down to yesterday of the undecideds. And I look, if there's one thing that I think a lot of Americans can agree on, and there's not a hell of a lot, we are divided, it is wrap it up. Yeah. Just like
Be done with it, yeah.
Absolutely, just get her done. And, and really, I think I would like to propose this. Whoever is the loser, you get one day. You get one day of bitching and complaining, and then shut the F up and let the winner be the winner, and that's it. And that's it. That's what I say. And you can hold me to that.
Can voters bitch,
too? You can
hold
me to that. And I'm talking about the election, not necessarily policy in the future.
Okay.
Just the election, because you can't let any administration go unchecked. In my humble opinion,
Losers should go collect trash for a week
in the garbage truck.
Yeah, now that's
It's a nice white one. I want a white one.
If
get
he has to do 7 days of that, does today count? Would he only have to do six because he's already done one day?
No, because he just drove at the airport. But I did see Vivek was out actually collecting garbage with people yesterday.
Who's that?
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Oh, Vivek, the guy that's kind of the little nerdy guy.
Right, the guy that was running against Trump now is helping Trump.
Okay.
See, isn't that nice?
He was collecting trash?
Yeah, he went out to work as a trash
He's one of the real good – he'll be in the administration if Trump wins. He's got the cred. He's got the cred, which is, absolute total loyalty. That's what we can –
that's what we can look for. I love garbage.
You know who else you love, Mr. President? I know you love Tripp Affleck, don't you?
I love Tripp. Tripp Affleck, wonderful veteran. Love Tripp. Love.
He matched Reese's donation, so thank you.
Tripp Affleck and all the good people helping support the TMY show in Las Vegas. We love the listeners.
That has degenerated into my only Trump impression so far. That's all I choose to do.
We love you, Tripp. We love you, Reese. We love you, Steve. We love you, Dirk. We love you. Love you, everybody.
And you love gummies, right?
I love gummies, all kinds. Gummy worms, Sour Patch, gummy worms. I love them.
Gummy lifesavers?
I think we'd all love to see either candidate on the gummies, like that old man that you had a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Where his son
I'd love it.
Mm-hmm. Nice high candidates.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I will say that, I think, and we have a sponsor, a gummy sponsor out of office, the gummies.
Yeah, Soul. We'll be talking about them today.
They're wonderful. And I think the world would be a happier, more chill place if this. Now, before we go to break, I want to have one little quiz for the boys.
Okay.
I'm reasonably sure that Josh would have seen this. Rob, not so much, but... All right. Rob is the pop culture guy. So here's my question.
All right.
There was one mega famous person that they showed, not on purpose, that they showed just in the background in the final game of the World Series last night that the Yankees won.
Okay, I have to defer to Josh. I only tuned in to get the score and then saw the two errors.
I will give Josh the opportunity to answer. Did you see the one in the background?
No, I saw some that they highlighted.
I was the only one that spotted it because I had to point it out to Carla. And when you looked for it, I had to do a quick.
I had to do a quick rewind. I love my clicker. I love my clicker.
I had to do a rewind.
Uh huh. And a pause.
But, would you like a hint?
Yes, I would.
He was there with his daughter, who is also. Not nearly what he is, but also is someone who has been seen on media.
I will entertain
your questions.
Last night was in New York, right?
In New York City.
Then it's easy. It's Paul Sorvino and Mira Sorvino.
Paul Sorvino, dead as a doornail, Rob.
Didn't say he was alive.
He was not propped up and embalmed and brought into the stadium.
Okay,
that's
incorrect. Is it close at all?
It is not even remotely close.
You're not even in the ballpark. I'm going to give you the buzzer. Bring out. I love this buzzer. I love it.
Daughter. Earlier. How old would you say the daughter is?
Mid-20s. Mid to late 20s.
All right. To you,
Josh. Josh, you wanted to say something?
You threw me off there with the year. Because I was thinking Jeter and his daughter threw out the first pitch a few days ago.
Not a sports figure.
Is it someone that I would associate as a New York celebrity?
No, you would not.
It's a Hollywood celebrity. Maybe?
I would categorize the person's body of work has been accomplished in on the left coast more than the New York area.
Okay. Is it a TV person?
It is. I'll give you a dinger for that. It is a TV person. Where's my ding?
I love the ding.
All right. As we're on this hot track,
yes.
Is it someone who is more of a host or an actor?
Boy, you are really narrowing it. It is someone I would describe as a host.
Now, when I was watching the game, they did feature a host.
They featured a host because this might ruin it if I missed that because I didn't see
because
the.
I
was this on the pregame?
No, this was like the seventh inning because I only watched the second half of the game.
They featured a host.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
In what context did they feature the host?
As in they zoomed on the camera on him and at the bottom said his name.
Oh,
that would be a good feature.
Well, then that might be. I might have seen him earlier.
Then I won't guess. And
you
I
will defer. That's very kind of you. I appreciate that. Rob, we got time for two more guesses.
Two more guesses, and it's a host of someone out there in Hollywood, and it is.
I'll give you one last hint.
Okay, go ahead.
What? Yes, Josh.
Well, I was going to say this is a guy I normally see at Angel games, not Dodger games.
See, that throws a monkey wrench in because I'm not aware of the Angel games. But I will give you the hint that might put it over the top.
Okay,
for you.
Thank you.
The hint word is retired.
Oh, same guy.
Oh, a retired host.
Same guy that got featured later in the game.
Yes.
Damn it. Wish they hadn't done that.
Well, it's not helping me.
Well, now that Josh says he was spotlighted when I'd gone to bed and then I watched the highlights.
All right. Is he known for hosting an entertainment show or a game show?
A game show.
Okay. We're getting closer then.
Well, you got two hints that your question Lisa. And your hint put them together.
I'm not
game show and retired. Come on now. You've got this. Use your brain. Use that giant brain. Retired.
All these hosts die. That's the problem. Oh, Pat Sajak.
Pat Sajak.
And his beautiful daughter.
Congratulations. Pat Sajak is the correct answer, Rob Spiewak. And Josh says he was featured later on, so they must have picked
and
up
like,
on the fact that he was
like
there
the
with his daughter.
In the seventh inning, they went and showed all the celebrities. So they showed Rob Lowe, John Travolta.
Oh, Rob Lowe was there. Who
Pat
else?
Pat Sajak,
Rob Lowe. Who else?
Travolta.
John Travolta was there. Okay, very cool.
When they showed Pat Sajak, did one of the color guys in the booth say, well, there's the former host of Wheel of Fortune. Had an encounter with Mike O'Mara once in a bathroom.
Mike O'Mara was
third and two.
S-housed at the old MCI Center. We have to take a break. We will come back with more fun and more thrills. We're going to keep on the Halloween theme later on in the show because it's not just ghost stories. We're going to talk about when was the time all of us were maybe the most scared. And, with all these soft, protected men, you might get something. You might get something good. You might not. Who knows? Hey, everybody.
Promo here, Mike.
Oh, promo. Okay. Thank you.
Have a happy Halloween.
TMOS Nation is taking over the Downtown Grand in Las Vegas the weekend of November 8th and 9th. If you haven't purchased your tickets for the Grand Reunion weekend, what are you waiting for? There's plenty to do. The Blackjack Tournament on Friday night and the live show from the Citrus Pool Deck on Saturday night. You'll be able to take part in all that Sin City has to offer, like gambling, hanging out with your friends.
I'm only having one drink.
Debauchery.
What?
Grab assery.
So good.
And most importantly, being with all of your friends who love and support the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yay!
Get your tickets today at MikeO'MaraShow.com/store. It'll be a weekend you'll never forget.
MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling. They scour the globe for original handmade, absolutely remarkable things. Somehow, they know exactly the perfect gift for every single person you know. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. What did you get, Josh?
I got a nice drinking glass of Oriole Park at Camden Yards, a nice drawing of the stadium on it, along with the city skyline.
Way to go. Congratulations on your drawing. Many of the handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. With every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/TMOS. That's uncommongoods.com/TMOS for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
That's a new element.
I'm looking at the world through gold glasses.
You're holding things up to your eyes. What are those?
Laundry, Rob. Laundry.
Oh, laundry sauce. I love it.
Laundry is a lousy ritual. It's a drag. But this sponsor has made the ritual
of Laundry Day, I got the whole big packet.
Oh, it's so great when that arrives.
I love that box.
Yeah.
Well, it's laundry sauce. Here's the box right here. Beautiful packaging. You might think you're getting one of those fancy electronic devices.
Yes.
This is laundry sauce. The fragrance, and I love the name of it. I love the fragrance of it. It is Australian sandalwood.
Oh, that's what I love. That's my
premium
favorite.
Scented laundry detergent. And I am telling you, here we go. Laundry sauce.
You know why Fantastic. It's great that they are our sponsor today, Mike, is that we are a podcast, and they are laundry pods.
The ritual of laundry. Fits. Everybody hates it, but this will make it better. This podcast, powered by Laundry Sauce. Laundry Sauce created the world's best-smelling laundry detergent in simple-to-use, high-performance pods.
Pod?
Laundry Sauce has transformed doing laundry into a luxurious and exciting experience. So, what's the secret sauce behind Laundry Sauce? They partnered with one of the top fragrance houses in the world, the same team behind many of your favorite designer scents. From Australian sandalwood, this one, to Egyptian rose. Hey, have you seen my Egyptian rose? To Siberian pine. I used that one before. We're going to use this one. We're trying this one out. Laundry day will never smell the same. When I first used the Siberian pine, Carla thought I changed my cologne. I am not lying about that. The reviews are great. Jay said, if this laundry soap was food, it could only be described as delicious. Plus, if you aren't happy, back your laundry sauce for a full refund. No questions asked. Come smell me in Las Vegas. I will be loaded with clothing washed in laundry sauce.
Loaded.
I'll be loaded too. Now is the time to elevate your laundry ritual with the laundry sauce. Not with the laundry sauce, all right? I'm not 80. With laundry sauce.
You can look at it on the television.
Head to laundrysauce.com/TMOS and use promo code TMOS at checkout. Guess what you get? 15% what? Off, people. 15% off. That's the best offer you'll find. But you got to use our code, TMOS, for 15% off your order. One last time. LaundrySauce.com/TMOS. Promo code TMOS for 15% offer. And we thank you. Hit it, baby. Hit the boom, please. I'm waiting. My studio producer, I'm waiting. Thank you.
He sucks.
We start today with the big game last night. Yeah. You know, really, really quite a comeback. And sorry, Yankee fans.
You are so evil because you don't give a flying F about the Dodgers. You just and the Yankees lost.
Yesterday was fun because I got hate messages, but it was about the Yankees instead of politics.
Really? Really? Yeah. Because of your Orioles fandom?
Because I dislike the Yankees.
I love how diverse you are, Josh. You piss off people with everything.
Exactly. All right, people throwing barbs at Josh for baseball, listen to me.
No, I like those. Those can keep coming.
But Josh and I are American League East fans, all right? Mm-hmm. And it is our right, and I would go one step further and say it is our duty to relish collapses by the New York Yankees, to relish moments when Yankee fans, with all their 7 million championships, experience a little of the pain that we have endured, all right? So,
you know, I saw a fun stat today. Mm-hmm. You know how much the Yankees have spent on payroll since their last World Series championship in 2009?
I would love to hear that number.
$3.2 billion.
What?
There it is. And compare that. If you did a statistical breakout and compared that to other teams, it would be even more egregious.
Well, the Red Sox, don't they pay mostly in trade?
Yes, they do. Beaver pelts, Rob.
Beaver pelts and Beaver bushels pelts. Of apples.
The LA Dodgers are your World Series champions. They came back from a 5-run deficit to beat the New York Yankees 7-6 in Game 5. Their comeback was fueled by massive defensive errors by the Yankees, especially Aaron Judge, who started the whole thing with a absolute routine fly ball in center field that he punted. Top of the fifth inning, that led to 500 runs. Aaron Judge, that was his first error of the entire season.
Good time for it.
Missing a routine fly ball. Then shortstop Anthony Volpe made a sloppy throw to third base that would have resulted in a putout. Then pitcher Gerrit Cole, no lips, failed to cover first base for what should have been the third out of the inning.
That was the one I couldn't get. I mean, that, right. Josh and I are both baseball managers. You teach the kids that early on. They got to cover. Who's going to cover first base? Well, when the second baseman's making a play, it's got to be the pitcher. When the first baseman makes plays, it's got to be the pitcher, rather. That's what I wanted.
This is why the Yankees lost and why you remain undefeated.
Yep. Yes. And it only cost those Dodgers $241 million to win.
Oh, see, that's much better use of money right there.
Yeah. The Yankees, spent $310 million to lose.
Despite the epic meltdown, the Yankees retook the lead. They went up 6-5 before giving up two runs in the eighth. Dodgers first baseman, Freddie Freeman.
Does he ever stop to eat when he's traveling?
An apple through a picket fence.
No, I'm talking about maybe he's going to the shore, Mike.
You mean like the Whitehall Inn?
Yes, I love that place.
I heard a rumor that when he travels to the eastern shore of Maryland, he will stop at the Whitehall Inn. And Freddie Freeman loves to have a basket of Whitehall's famous fruit fritters.
I love it. Mike,
Named a World Series MVP.
Would you like to see a highlight of last night's game, particularly the end of it?
Yes,
since we have
at the end of the big celebration. The Dodgers have tied the game. Sacrifice fly from Gavin Lux, and it's 6-6 in the eighth. 6-6, that's earlier in the game.
Mookie
Betts comes up with the bases loaded. We have Mookie Betts. That's a deep fly ball. Sacrifice fly going to score the go-ahead run. That's Kike Hernandez. Walker Buehler coming in to close. He's a starter. He hasn't relieved in many moons. Strikes the guy out. That's it. And Kike Hernandez.
They finished the job.
Mookie Betts. Dave Roberts. Quite a Red Sox lineage on the Dodgers. The Red Sox do a lot.
Do you have
of deals
anything
the
against the Dodgers in real life? Like if you
no.
were to force,
no,
I think they've
waited a long
right?
time, and I think the Dodgers spend a lot of money and make a lot of moves, and so do the Yankees. And both teams got there. We have the two best teams in baseball playing in the World Series. There's no doubt in my mind about
payroll
that.
Would be my only issue.
Payroll is an issue when you're talking about it has been too long where we have seen the New York Yankees in particular just ejaculate money into these players' hands all the time and spend the most, and that's their formula. And it's not creative, and it doesn't require
Mike, that's
anything
why you
other
need
than
to subscribe. If you need, if you really love baseball, you need to subscribe to the MLB Network, because after 11 p.m., that's when they show the movies of them ejaculating the money into the players'
hands.
That
was a long way to go, but I realized I was on your favorite subject. Former NFL tight end Rob Gronkowski said he was friends with that guy, Austin Capobianco, one of the Yankee fans who were banned from Game 5, the guy that reached over and grabbed Mookie Betts' glove.
I open a glove
banned.
And I take it a ball, Mike. It's a good thing. I would like think to
more,
have it.
No, I would say more like, hey, how are you? Come on. Yankees. Yankees.
Barstool Sports have been praising these guys, bringing them on all their shows.
Yeah, they've given them the exposure because that's the type of guys Barstool Sports guys are.
Yeah,
Sure.
During Wednesday's installment of Up and Adams. Okay, Adams. Hello, Kay. Hi, Kay. I could watch her read the phone book. That show's on FanDuel TV. Gronk congratulated Capobianco. Of course he did. He said he was on the ice hockey team, the club. All right, let me see if I can do my best, Ron.
He was on the ice hockey team. The Club Arizona Wildcats ice hockey team. And let me tell you, the whole hockey team were absolute maniacs. They were indescribable just how wild these guys were.
Hey, Gronk.
Every commercial I do, I'm Gronk.
Gronk, are you excited for Halloween?
Halloween!
Who are you dressing up as again?
Spider-Man!
Yes, of course, Gronk.
I'm not saying it's okay, but I haven't talked to him in a while. I mean, that whole group, they were maniacs.
Is it okay to be a maniac, Gronk?
Yeah, bring out the maniac!
That's so childish. I am a childish man. Obviously, keeping kids away from candy will be impossible over the next few days.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some John Tesh things parents can do.
You didn't warn me, Mike. Here we go.
Limit the amount of candy your kid downs in one sitting. Have them cut back on sweets that can get stuck to teeth.
or that are exposed to your teeth over a long period of time, like suckers.
Dum-dum pops?
Try to limit additional sugars around Halloween, like pushing water over sugary drinks.
Boo.
That's a good thing to do. Encouraging them to brush their teeth after having candy. And for younger kids, a fun new toothbrush might help with that. They should be sure to brush before bed. It's also good to teach your kids about the importance of oral health. Because you get one set of teeth. Well, after the baby teeth, of course. That's a practice round. According to the CDC, more than half of children aged 6 to 8 years have had a cavity of at least one of their baby teeth.
Look out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Even though baby teeth fall out. Dumbass. Anyway, and
Mr. Tesh, don't you still have all of your baby teeth?
I do. Yeah. Little kernels of corn.
Yeah, they're like in a row behind your grown-up teeth, like a shark, aren't they?
Yeah, like a tiger shark. I'm John Tesh. Intelligence for your life, and are your index cards.
Hey, Gronk.
Yeah.
I can still
hear her. Hi, Spider-Man. They were maniacs.
Are you going to be handing out candy tonight? And if so, what?
Oh, gigantic Hershey's bars.
Salma Hayek has been. Here is a story. I file this squarely under I don't care. In fact, I have two celebrity I don't care stories.
Okay, you Salma don't care? Hayek, Mike O'Mara doesn't care?
Mike O'Mara doesn't care.
Okay.
And I'm John Tesh now, though, saying Mike O'Mara doesn't care.
Okay, why doesn't he care, Tesh?
Salma Hayek has been married to a billionaire for 15 years, yet she's still driven to make her own money. That's because they keep their finances separate, and they have no prenup. Salma says, quote, I support a lot of the aspects of my life and myself. I have the pressure to make a certain amount of money, and I like it. Good for you.
Salma, what are you handing out for Halloween?
Breast milk.
I'm sorry.
That was inappropriate.
What are you doing?
That was totally, I apologize. Please do not send me emails.
But if she does that, Gronk will come to her house.
Now, there's somebody on our little team here who will identify this story as having nothing to do with the subject matter.
Great.
And having everything to do with something else. And he knows what I'm talking about, and he'll know as soon as I get started on this story. Tom Hanks seems like he'd be a great dad, but he wasn't. And that's according to him. In a new interview, he said, quote, I made every mistake, you know. You scar your kids somehow in the exact same way. And as they get older, you come back around and say, hey, can I talk about what a knothead I was for all these years? And they say, yeah, sure, Dad. I've been kind of waiting for this. Why don't you unload? He added, quote, but I would say at the time, does it come up to be 50-50? Maybe the attitude and the life that we led, the laughs, the stuff's worth its weight in gem-encrusted gold. Rob, do you think Tom Hanks brought that up because he just wanted the world to know that he wasn't that good a dad?
Mike, actually, the truth of the story is as follows. And here's one to grow on from me. Tom Hanks has a movie coming out where he plays a father. What? And,
what?
And
really?
By commenting on his own fathering skills, he makes you think about the movie. What?
There it is.
And that's one to grow on.
That's as transparent a one as I think I've
ever
seen.
That's really bad. And you know what? He did good with one of his kids. Colin Hanks is successful. Chet, not so great.
Chet
Hanks.
Finally today, German police busted a pizzeria in the Western City. Pizzeria, sorry. I've always loved the late Danny Aiello's pronunciation in Moonstruck. It's a great pizzeria. German police busted a pizzeria in the western city of Düsseldorf.
Quiz for Mike. What is his name in Moonstruck?
Oh. I don't know either the Nicolas Cage character or the Danny Aiello.
Well, the Danny Aiello character has a great line towards the end when he comes into the house and the lady says, it's Johnny Camerari.
There he is. They busted a pizzeria in Dusseldorf that also delivered a side order of cocaine when customers asked for item number 40 on the menu. Criminal director Michael Graf von Moltke, he told reporters in Dusseldorf that was one of the best-selling pizzas. He said police were first tipped off by suspicious food.
in March. Police buzzed the apartment of the pizzeria manager, and the 36-year-old allegedly threw a bag of drugs out the window.
No.
It fell right in the arms of the police officers. Dusseldorf police said the bounty included 3.5 pounds of cocaine, 14.1 ounces of cannabis, and 268,000 euros. Pizza doesn't make you sluggish. It gives you prima energy, especially when you include number 40. The item is cocaine. Cocaine, huh? Busy, busy. Snow. Blow. It's a white powder. There you go.
Hey, German pizza guy. Is that Parmesan cheese in the shaker? I thought that was Parmesan cheese.
Nine. We put a little tint of yellow in it, but make it realize you're not smoking, snorting the cocaine. We got to take a break. We'll come back with more. Something else right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. What kind of night is it? Single? Double? Triple? Or a quad? I'm not talking about alcohol. I'm talking about souls. Out of office, microdosed THC gummies.
They're great.
Did you know that you can buy hemp-derived THC products legally anywhere in the U.S. through our partner, Soul? Soul's new out-of-office gummies are perfectly microdosed with hemp-derived THC and CBD to give any day that chilling on the beach vibe. I had some the other night, right before bed. I can't believe how effective they were and how quickly they worked. I believe I didn't know you could buy THC products online like this. Out-of-office gummies give you that warm, fuzzy, euphoric microdose feel without sending you to the moon, Alice.
Yeah.
You can go for a jog, watch your favorite TV show, or head out to a party, whatever. They taste amazing. They really do. And their effect is wondrous. Sometimes getting high can cause its own stress. But microdoses of THC keep people feeling good without the anxious thoughts. And Soul can help with sleeplessness, anxiety, focus, and pain. Soul's products are grown right here in the USA, organically farmed and gluten-free. This holiday season, give the gift of Soul. Head to GetSoul.com and use code TMOS for 30% off your order. That's 30% off your order using code TMOS. One last time, GetSoul.com and code TMOS for 30% off, ladies and gentlemen. All right, yesterday it was ghost stories. Today it's scary stories. We've all probably had a moment or two. I have three quickies, and then if you guys want to jump in with yours, anything that really legitimately scared you, I would welcome that. Last time I talked about the ghost, it was really more of a myth story for my family, where I don't think we were ever really scared that there was a ghost named Mr. Clark. However, there were some... What do I hear in the background?
Scary music.
Oh, there it is. It was just like wind for a while or something.
Yeah, it was really, really weird. All right, so there are three quickies that I'll give you right here. One was I was mugged when I was a kid. I was in my early teens, went into downtown Hartford and into a local department store called G Fox's, and a group of guys followed me through. They were pretty young, too, but they actually pulled a knife. And I think I remember reaching into my wallet, because they were kids, and pulling out $5 and then getting out of there and being okay with that.
And back then, $5 was like $300.
Oh, back then, really. And it was just, I remember that's the first time in my life I actually felt that the threat of violence, because I've been in a scrape or two in fights as a kid, that was something that could really, really badly hurt me. But the next one actually came before this, and I was a very, very young kid, and we went to, in Maine, an island called Vinyl Haven, where my Aunt Mary's dear friend, her name was Catsy, and Catsy had a house on Vinyl Haven.
Now, Vinyl Haven sounds like a great record store.
It's an island off the coast of Maine. So the fact that we're going to an island anyway is a little weird. And she had been to the house before.
What's the lady's name?
Catsy.
Was she one of Capote's swans?
It was weird. It was really. She had
she had a voice like this.
Sure.
This very. I think she was one of my aunt's like New York City friends who was really kind of out there and eccentric and all that. And she was talking about spiders in her house and how you don't like spiders. You don't like spiders, Mike. And I'm a little kid. Of course, I don't like spiders, crazy lady. I don't like it at all. And we ended up going out to be at her place, beautiful little place she had out on the island with a great view of the ocean and all that.
Sure.
And all I remember, and I don't know if I saw this or not, but I remembered it like it was, that I woke up very shortly after I went to bed, and everybody was probably turning in, the adults. My door was open a crack, and I remember
everyone was passed out.
The adults, everybody just drinking their asses off.
Vinyl Island, number one per capita consumption of olives. Did you know that?
This lady had kind of stringy gray hair. You know, it was really, I'm trying to figure out how to, but to make a long story short, I looked through the door and she was standing at the door and looking at me. And it happened so quickly, but I didn't sleep a wink the rest of that night. I thought she was going to kill me with spiders. And it freaked
Mary,
my
he's
ass
such a beautiful
out.
Boy. You don't
And then a radio story
that
scared me. We had, back in the early days of shock jockery, many things that would upset people. It would go on to become something where, you know, it comes with the territory. People are going to throw darts at you. Josh is just experiencing a lot of that with the whole politics thing. Somebody will send a hateful email that's, you know, really cruel. And everybody can sit before their computer and write something nasty because they don't have any accountability. And it's cowardice. And it's been going on for a million years. However, sometimes when a little of that tension blows over to, say, a phone call from a screener that we get warned about or a message at the front desk of the radio station. You look at, and I don't know what we'd said or what we'd done, but it was something where we were getting a few people upset.
Okay.
And I would come into WAVA, Power 105 WAVA, in the morning, and I would back into my parking space in the dark, getting ready to go in and do the morning show because pitch black, especially in the fall when you fall back, and that would happen. And I'll never.
And you'd
forget.
Back in mostly for a quick getaway, right?
Absolutely. So I can get out of Dodge because now, you know, 10:30 a.m. I am out of there, baby. Out of there.
I never worked with you at WAVA, although that as years move on, it seems like I did to a lot of people. When you got there, obviously the business wasn't open. You cruised in probably between 5 and 5:30.
Yeah.
Did you have a key to the building? Did you come in the back? How did you
Pretty
access-
sure I had a key, and I know this, that the you back in, and I'm right in front of the main entrance, which is the lobby where people would come in, which is on the bottom floor. I would walk up around.
Gorgeous facility, wasn't it?
I would Beautiful. Striking, really. I would walk around the parking lot, up the parking lot, and then go in the side door, which was the DJ door.
Okay.
And so as I'm walking up, I look, and in the parking lot is this late model car, like one of the ones you used to drive. One of those. And
like a Caprice.
I see the outline. I see the outline of a person in this car, and there is nobody in this parking lot. And it is approximately 5:15 a.m., and it's dark.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, and I stop. And I see the outline. And as I see the outline, I see the glow of a cigarette as somebody is smoking a cigarette staring right at me. And I don't know where the guy went. I don't know what happened. I told people about it, but I beat feet, and I was worried the guy was going to jump out of his car and eat me. That's what I was terrified of.
And it turned out it wasn't Lou Katz.
It was not Lou Katz. It was not another DJ. It was some stranger.
That's
stranger
creepy.
Danger. Stranger
That's
danger.
Very creepy.
Those when are my three.
We've been through this before, and not this particular story, I don't think, so let me just clue Josh in. When I grew up, my grandfather did a lot of farming, and we sold the vegetables. This was my first job in the summer. And one of the big money getters was sweet corn. You didn't have the technology for corn to stay sweet like in a grocery store now for days and days and days. You had to sell it the day you pulled it. Otherwise, it just wasn't any good. But living in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., he was in a raccoon-rich environment, and the raccoons would get the corn and do tremendous damage in the cornfield because they knew when it was ripe, and they would destroy it. So our way to battle it was to put out radios tuned to talk radio to play all night because if they heard human voices, they would stay out of the corn. Not songs. It had to be talk radio. And we all took turns putting the radios out. Now, if you want to talk about dark, Mike, I'm sure that parking lot was dark. But there is nothing darker than going into a field of corn
in the patch, when the stalks are 8 and 9 feet tall, the leaves cut out all light, so you can't see anything. So I'm going through.
How come you're not using scary music in back of your
story? Oh, I'm sorry. I was so excited. So I go in.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Were there children out there?
Children of the corn. But it was so, and I was young. I wasn't driving yet. I know that. So probably like 12 years old. And you go out and you got to try to count off the rows to the middle. And there are rows in a cornfield, but once you get deep in, it's sort of hard to negotiate them. And I had the radio, and I got deep into the cornfield to a point that if I looked anywhere around me, I couldn't see anything.
Is that when you were raped?
Mike, you know I was never raped.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's not okay. Sorry. And I'm in the middle of the cornfield, and I hear like Jim Bohannon coming out of the radio.
Oh, it's late.
Yeah. Oh, it's dark. It's okay. Dark.
Very late.
And
very
I hear... There's definitely an animal in the cornfield with me. And they were talking about rabies a lot that summer. And there's deer and there's raccoons and there's groundhogs and all this stuff. And I don't want to deal with it. So I want to ditch the radio and turn. But I literally get lost in the cornfield. Not a maze, an actual field. And I can't find my way out.
Were you wearing overalls?
And I was barefoot, Mike. No
you
shirt.
Had a piece of wheat in your mouth.
No shirt under the overalls, and I was barefoot. I can't speak to my outfit.
When were you assaulted?
I was never assaulted. Okay. It was one of those things that was absolutely horrifying to me because
how
it was
old were
the
you internet. At this time?
Like 10 or 12, probably.
Oh wow, scary time.
Yeah, and I mean, when you really lose, and the wild thing is I was maybe a quarter mile from home. But I couldn't get my bearings.
And that you was couldn't, if something had attacked you, you would have been killed. You know why?
Why?
Because you can't run. You couldn't run, right? Your parents.
Well, Mike, it was just a quick trip out to the cornfield. And so I said, Mom, I'm going out without my braces. And she said, if you think you can. And so I just went out.
Josh, did you know this fact that Rob's parents used to sit on the porch and love to watch him run because he was so funny when he would run?
I wasn't going to bring it up.
You know, I also had leg braces when I was young.
Oh, I never did. I was just joking.
Did you really have leg braces?
I did.
Why are you so tall?
Like, 1 or 2 years.
Real
young.
I didn't know that. Run, Josh, run!
Yeah, well, to put a button on the running tree.
I think it was before I was able to walk or run.
So you had to get straightened out a little bit.
I think so.
To put a button on the running story, when Robert was in treatment for his leukemia, we were worried because he was having trouble running because of all the chemo and stuff. And so the doctor said, well, this is not uncommon concern to have, but we don't want to make him self-conscious. So tell him we're going to give him a fun test at the doctor's office today. And I said, okay. I said, Rob, we're going to do a fun test. And he said, cool. And so he's like 2.5, 3, just, a little kid. And we go to the doctor's office at Children's, and there's an empty hallway. And Dr. Greenberg, who's actually been on this show, great guy, says, Robert, I want you to run all the way down to the bottom of the hall, back to the end of the hall, and then run all the way back to me as fast as you can. And Robert did it. And then we went back in, and Robert went into the examination room, and the doctor stayed with me outside. And he said, there's nothing wrong with his legs. He's just a bad runner. And
doesn't fall far from the tree.
But, Mike, this is the thing. I went home, and, of course, after an appointment, you always call your parents. I called my mom, and she says, oh, I've never told you this. We lived close enough to the school that we could watch you at recess and laugh at the way you ran. And I said, that's terrific.
That sounds right. As a baseball coach, I have watched my stepson run and laugh and be like, why do you run that way? Then eventually I saw his dad run as a grown man in the same way.
Same way.
Wow. It's amazing.
But anyway, I wasn't scared of my son running. I was scared of the mysterious creatures in the field, knowing that if I had been slaughtered, I would never be found.
Never found the creature, right?
That's no, I assume it was a raccoon, right? Or maybe a mountain lion.
That's amazing. That is scary. Josh, we have to set aside some time for your legs one day.
I don't remember much. I've just been told.
Okay, you've been told. All right, that's good. All right, then that puts a button on
Can you still
that.
Go through metal detectors?
Mm-hmm. You know what? It's I love the honesty. Speaking of honesty, my wife has no problems with honesty. I'll tell you about that when we come up in just a second here. But I do want to tell you about her business. And I really want to say this is really the time of year and the time of the month where we would really love you to get involved with DermGlow. If you are getting ready for the holidays, especially now that it's Halloween, where temptations will be thrust in front of you.
It starts today. The holidays literally start today, Mike.
They work. It has worked for me, and I'm so thrilled with my journey that I've gotten through DermGlow Skin with Tirzepatide. And you need to get this product, and it's so easy to do it if you go right now to DermGlowSkin.com, and it'll be delivered right to your front door. DermGlow. That's. I want you to remember that. You can get access it on our website as well. They're now offering microdosing semaglutide or Tirzepatide. What does that mean? Well, no BMI requirement. No body mass index requirement. You can get it. You can go ahead and just get the stuff.
Get
if you were worried about,
it.
Hey, I just have a few pounds to lose. I want to. It's a game changer. If you don't qualify for weight management because your BMI is too low, you can still qualify for microdosing. Find microdosing under the longevity tab at DermGlowSkin.com. Also, don't forget to remember that DermGlowSkin also has PT-141 to improve your sexual health and satisfaction, B12 for energy, NAD Plus for the fountain of youth, and Somorolin and Synapsin for that brain fog. This is a health journey you need to go on. Have everything delivered to your home and start improving yourself. It's the first step to being a better you. Age well with peptides, and remember, Carla is always there for you. You want to talk to her, she will walk you through it with any questions you may have. I am Mike O'Mara, and I no longer have brain fog. I'm Mike O'Mara.
No, Mike, no longer have brain fog. You just need to say it once. That's all.
In the series of wonderfully supportive and complimentary commentary my wife has given me throughout my life, one of the reasons Carla and I have been successful in our relationship, I truly believe, is that she has a certain level of toughness that she is able to deal with me. Because if, some of you might not know this, but to my family members and in my circle of friends, I am referred to occasionally as Captain Asshole. And it's really
great. No, it's not an actual military title, is it?
Not at all. No, this is no stolen honor here. No stolen valor. I do not do that. But Carla has just been tough, and she tells it like it is, and she keeps me straight, and I love her for that. And
if you had never met Carla, do you think you'd be dead now?
Certainly.
No, I mean, she's definitely kept you in line. I mean,
yeah, I think my life has improved. Dead?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think but I probably would have traveled down the wrong road and not certainly been as satisfied with my life as I am today. And
I feel that if you had never met Carla, I'd be dead.
You know what? I am satisfied, and I am satisfied for two reasons. And I do want to get into this. I'll tell you I'll put a pickle on it, like you guys were doing the Pickle Witch or whatever the hell it was. I have to say this. That not only am I satisfied with Carla's toughness and the way that we've lived our lives, and she's been a wonderful influence on me and better for me and given me my wonderful son, and I'm very happy. But as far as my professional life, there is no doubt that we are a small entity doing this podcast, but the passion that these listeners have shown me in the last couple of weeks with buying our wristbands to be on the and selling tickets to VIPs and getting involved and making arrangements and putting up meet and greets online that they're doing. I'm going into Las Vegas with a wonderful attitude, as you and Josh will both know. A couple of weeks ago, I was pretty concerned and pretty down about it. And I feel totally different now. I'm really jacked about doing this because I could complain all day. Being 65, you get out of bed, it's not the same as when you got out of bed when you were 35. But I will tell you right now, I'm a pretty satisfied dude, and that's a good spot to be in. I'm very, very happy.
I think we're all excited. Do you think it's because that it's getting closer? Because there's not
many
days.
I think it's because it's getting closer, but people... We needed help for this. It's more expensive now to fly people out there and get people. We still need help. I'm not going to lie about that. We still need you to go and get some wristbands. That's the last piece of the puzzle here. But and buy some tickets if you want to do a last minute thing. We'd love to have you there. At the same time, the response from the certain individuals that have propped us up on this is incredibly gratifying. And I go into this weekend feeling like it's more of a family reunion than it ever has been for me. Mm-hmm. So I got that.
Do you know how many days there are till we do it?
That's the hey, Josh. That is his whole. That is his whole motivation for doing this. Is when I was you, trying to. I think they're nine, right? They're nine.
Mike, I believe. Let's check the big board.
Nine.
Only 9 days left.
Number nine.
You got
we
it
are
in.
Now just 9 days away.
Number nine.
For nine.
Number nine.
And did I catch a niner in there?
Number nine.
Nine.
Number nine.
Nine.
Number nine.
Nine.
Number
it will fascinate right. Just 9 days to go yeah, now.
We're just 9 days okay. away.
Happy days are here again.
Nine. Number nine. She's a real Martian beauty, man.
You're going to love the ending of this one, Mike.
She has nine hairs on her head.
The Mike O'Mara Show in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
We hope your season is a little bit brighter just because of us.
Now let's hit the road for Las Vegas.
That's your motorcycle.
That's very exciting. All right, is it over?
I love the appreciation. Yes, it's over, Mike.
All right, are you ready for
but
the romantic
But we can play it
thought?
Again if you like, yeah.
No? Are no? you ready okay. for the romantic thought now that I
am,
I
Mike,
say?
I am. Carla did it.
A romantic thought before bed just the other night, 2 nights ago I think it was. Carla says to me, and this is a direct quote, I didn't answer, have you thought about wearing a toupee? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That was
wow.
Carla. Yeah, that's what she said to me.
Wow. So have you?
I've got some links I can send you.
Thanks. I appreciate that, Josh. Very nice. No, yeah, it's a little thinner than it was. Hey, I'm 65. All right?
It's okay, Lyle. You're fine.
Kiss my Irish ass. We'll take a break, and Rob's got a few beautiful videos.
Beautiful. They're gorgeous.
You right here. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. One of the best ways to enrich your life is language. So if you want to expand your horizons, you need Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer languages. We're talking Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish. We love Rosetta Stone, and we really want you to learn and speak. Listen, think. All of that in that same language. That's how Rosetta Stone does it. It's designed for long-term retention. Rosetta Stone is also an amazing value, a lifetime membership that offers lifetime access to all 25 language courses that Rosetta Stone offers. 50% off. That's an amazing deal. It's a steal before Vegas. I'm going to learn how to say, hit me, dealer, in Korean.
Yes.
Fun.
That is fun.
Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Our listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today and do it right now. Thank you, Rosetta Stone. We appreciate your sponsorship. We truly do.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Music loving Charlie and Harrigan on WKYC.
I wanted Mike to reveal the costume that you and I were doing tonight, that I'm going to be a Charlie Brown and you're going to be Irv Harrigan.
That's going to be very exciting. And I always thought Charlie Brown was the skinny one when it's in fact Irv that's the skinny one.
Really?
Right? I don't remember.
I always got them confused too. Actually, my real costume, Mike, I'm using tonight is the same I always do. Sexy podcaster.
Sexy podcaster always gets you the full size, baby. Absolutely.
Mike, do you ever see tempers flaring on the golf course?
Oh, yes. But primarily, I see. Well, no. I mean, I'm not. I've seen it on lots of golf videos because everybody's got viral videos of this
sure.
stuff now. However, I've witnessed it in person as well, but okay. You know, never.
Is
really
it usually alcohol fueled?
No, it's usually competition fueled. So it's usually in a tournament setting.
This one is alcohol fueled, and they eventually had to come out and remove this guy from the course because he had been drinking, and I think he assaulted three other people. But this is the one that we have on video. You need to listen to this mostly because the actual hit is heard, not seen.
Okay.
But they were arguing, and he went after a player with his driver.
Oh,
and
boy.
Clobbered him.
Dangerous
weapon. Oh, my God. What is wrong with you? Call the cops.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
Did you hear that hit?
Yeah, he hit him with the golf club.
Yeah. So, and he went on to assault three other people that day. So you've never seen anything like that.
Then a guy came out of the woods wearing like a military outfit with a satchel containing weapons. And it was Michael Douglas. That's a reference to the movie Falling Down. Get off my golf course. Get off my golf course. Now you're going to die in that stupid little hat.
Love that Mike, scene. Good news. You've lived in New York. I've spent a lot of time in New York, and it's tough. It's tough, I want to tell you.
What do you mean it's tough?
If you want to get around, that you gotta, you're a slave to the traffic lights. If you're a pedestrian,
okay.
It's right. Trouble. That, yeah, well, guess right. What? Jaywalking, no longer illegal in New York City.
All now, right.
Do you like that, Jay?
Yeah, it's jaywalking, yeah. All right, what's the capital of Iowa? It's jaywalking. Give me
so,
yeah.
Jaywalking has been illegal, but now anyone can cross anytime, anywhere.
Jaywalking is now the right of all New Yorkers.
Who cares?
So what else is new?
Officially, now it's not against the law.
I jaywalked my whole life here. I lived here for 60 years and I jaywalked.
Crossing with Attitude even made it into the 1969 film Midnight Cowboy.
Midnight Cowboy, young.
This was improvised by Dustin Hoffman. Hadn't been in the script, but they kept it.
Hey, I'm walking here. I'm walking here.
Have you ever seen someone ticketed for jaywalking?
Ratso.
So yeah. They could just go ahead and jaywalk and get flat in the street.
Yep, no more tickets for taking your life in your hands. Hurry, hurry, hurry. This was Jay Running here in Brooklyn.
Jay That's, Running.
And yeah, you're going to have, that will be an uptick. In bodies, it will.
Oh, God,
that's
yeah.
That's just inevitable now because that's just kind of weird. That's just kind of weird that they changed that law. It
Do
really,
you feel
everybody
that
does it.
They've
yeah.
given up?
I suppose so. I suppose so. And, you know, I mean, with New York City and let me tell you, of all the cities I've been to many and I've lived in New York City. You know, you want to jaywalk in New York, be aware of what you're doing because you are literally.
Good luck.
Taking your life in your hands.
I've been to New York in the Christmas season, and it's crazy. The sidewalks literally fill up, and if people don't cross against the light, you're cubically stuck because the sidewalk can hold X number of people, and that's how many are there. So I can see the advantage of skirting the law, but yeah, please don't get hit. Please.
Well, now I see those large groups should just keep walking and not stop when the pedestrian light stops.
Oh, yeah, so you'll just get total gridlock. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be nonstop and just the masses. You'll have to literally kill people to get to your destination.
What if That's all it. Four people come to the crosswalk at the same time?
Okay, let's move on, please. Thank you very much.
Let's close with this, Mike. I know you've always, always wanted to break a Guinness World Record. And we just have to find the one you love. Okay. I think you can do this one because you still have a piano in your house, right?
I have a grand piano.
Of course, well, I don't mean that. Your concert grand in the conservatory?
In the West Wing, I have a grand piano.
No, you have a keyboard piano that your son plays, so you could do this. Yeah. This is the world record for the most times hitting one piano key in 30 seconds. What do you think the winning number is?
I do not know. I do not know. You might as well roll it. I really
This guy, he's 500 hits. He's warming up. Start.
In 1 minute?
30 seconds is all he gets.
30 seconds. It's a drum roll.
So there's actually a digital counter by him.
It's a drum roll.
Well, judging from his physique, I'm surprised he has the endurance.
So you're not even hearing the hammer hit the string.
No, you're just hitting the key. Yeah, he's done. Mike, we don't need to see it in slow motion, but he did.
His little fat fingers.
Yeah, boy, okay, maybe a little.
That is essentially a drum roll that he's doing. Those are 16th notes that he's playing.
So, Mike, I want to say congratulations
to
Rob Gronkowski for breaking the record.
He's a maniac. Yay, everybody.
So, Mike, that's all I have for you today. It was 16.6 hits every second. Think
Phenomenal.
Of that.
It very,
was.
Very, very exciting. Isn't that something?
How about that?
We have to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new bonus hour, ladies and gentlemen, of the Mike O'Mara Show. We are excited because Vegas is next week. If you want to get your drink wristbands and, you know, greet people in the lobby by throwing it around their head. Go ahead. No, we are looking for buy your wristbands. We still have tickets available for Vegas. We are looking forward to that. Mrs. O'Meara wanted me to make sure and say there are just a few of these left. So get yourself a coffee mug there. I've gotten all the plugs in. Want to thank everybody for tuning in. And we'll be back with a bonus show tomorrow. For Josh Sirok and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Meara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye, folks.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Meara bonus show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.
You are a blabbermouth!
The power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you!
Hey everybody, this is Reba McEntire. Happy Halloween!
O'Reilly!
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly!